cause thee to err and destroy the ways of thy paths. So God is showing us here that two groups of people are going to be leaders, and it's the wrong group. The first are children. How can children be ahead of grown-ups? And he says, children will lead you. So children leading you means that people who don't know as much and don't have even experience to know what is going to happen are going to be leaders. This was a punishment. You see, if you read Isaiah chapter 3, and we can read verse 1, you see that this was God's punishment to the people for their wickedness. In verse 1, it says, for the Lord of hosts does take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff and the supply. God is taking away supplies. So anywhere you see where God has taken away supplies, he has taken away food, he has taken away money, he has taken away the provisions that we need, all right, then you see that he is punishing the people. Now, how is he going to do that? Verse 2, Isaiah 3, verse 2. He says, he's taking away the mighty man, the man of war. So these are people who are ahead of us. A mighty man knows more than you and I. A man of war is somebody who has gone to war and come many times, and he knows what to do. The judge. A judge is somebody who knows many, many bad things and knows the difference between people, what they say and what they do. Because everybody says good things but do bad things. A judge is the one who distinguishes between the two. I say I love you, but when you behave, I hate you. I say I'm with you, but your behavior is I'm against you. That is a judge. All right? And then the prophet. A prophet is also somebody who is ahead because he can see. You know, last night I was preaching about Jesus Christ, the man of compassion. And when he raised up the woman of Nain's child, the Bible says great fear came on them. And they said a great prophet has raised. So a prophet is also someone who is ahead, is far ahead. These are people who are supposed to be leaders. And when such people are leading, there will be provision. But God's punishment in Isaiah 3 says that I'm going to punish the people. I will take away people who should have been leaders. I will take all such people, a mighty man, man of war, a judge, a prophet, and then the prudent. A prudent man is somebody who sees ahead. Bible says a prudent man sees the evil ahead and keeps himself. You are not prudent, you don't see ahead. You look it through Africa, you see that many people have not looked ahead to see that this will happen, or maybe the diamonds will finish, or the copper will finish, or the timber will finish, or the gold will finish, or this will finish. We are just there, you know. The people who have died in Sierra Leone, 1,000 people, they live, built their small houses on a hill. And the water came and washed all of them out and drowned all the people. As if there is no leader, you know, because if there is a leader, you can see where the water is going to wash the place. Even in Ghana, I can show you a place that one day, the same thing that happened in Israel will happen in Ghana. I can show you, I can take you there and show you this place, this is what will happen. This one, this is what will happen. But the Bible says that God is going to punish the people. And the punishment is that people who see ahead, they will not be a leader. But rather, children will be the leader. How can a child see ahead? A child doesn't know anything about the future. A child is nobody. And women. Women are supposed to not be the head. God made the man is the head. That means he's the head, the leader. Not a woman. But he said, I'm going to give you people who are not ahead to be ahead. And now you can only expect confusion and poverty. And in fact, he says that the, what he's doing is that the Lord takes away the stay or the provision. The stay, the provision and the supplies of bread, of money, of everything. He's taking it because he's taking away leaders. And these are all types of leaders. Prudent, the ancient. The ancient is, you know, an old person. There's a man called John Calvin. He was a young man, but when you read his history, the history says that he was a very famous reformer, came after Martin Luther. The history says that he was a young man with the mind of an old man. He had the mind of an old man because he was given to reading books. So he had the mind of an old man. That was what was written about him, as an old man in a young body. Yeah. And then the captain of 50. These are a captain in the army. God is going to take away captains. There will be no captains. Honorable men. Most men are not honorable. You know, and honorable men should be leading dishonorable men, so that dishonorable men will learn and become honorable. Is it not true? Yeah. And the counselor, you know, somebody who can give good advice. These are supposed to be leaders. The cunning artificer or the cunning, the craftsman, somebody who, you know, is able to build and develop. You take countries, a lot of our countries, we cannot even make matches. Matches. I don't know if you make matches here, but in Ghana, we don't make matches that we use to light fire. We don't make wheelbarrows. We don't make anything. Maybe you are making a lot of wheelbarrows here and bicycles. But even bicycle, we cannot make it. How much more cars? So you have other nations with people that are making things. And God says, I'm taking away from here people who can make things. One of the ways God punished Germany, Adolf Hitler, when he was fighting the rest of the world and killing people. And he caused the deaths of 50 million people by the war that he started. And one of the punishments that God gave to Germany during the war was to take away clever people who can make things. So as he persecuted the Jews at the beginning, they started to live in ships to America. So a lot of the people left, intelligent lawyers, people, and he banned anybody who was a Jew from going to university. He said, if you are a Jew, you cannot go to university again in Germany. So, I mean, it was terrible. So one of the people who left Germany was Einstein. Einstein was a German, a Jewish German. He was living in Germany. Einstein is the inventor of the nuclear weapons and all those things. He was a German. So as they were persecuting them, he joined the boat off to America. Do you understand? So when God is punishing, he takes away clever people. People who can make things. People who can build things. And he gives the people water brain. People with water brains. Water in their head. Yeah. Who cannot make anything. Cannot build. Cannot do anything. And those people are in charge. And that brings the curse and the poverty on everybody. Yeah. Are you listening to me? So, it is very important. And then the next one is the cunning orator. The cunning orator. The eloquent orator. God takes away the eloquent orator. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 14. It's one of the saddest verses of all time. It says, or let's read verse 13. Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. Now, you see, if you take a king who can no more be admonished, he cannot be advised by anybody about anything. But he's our leader. Verse 14. Out of prison, he cometh to reign. He comes to lead us. Do you see? From where does he come? From his prison, from bondage. You know, people who have suffered many times and have been in prison are not good leaders. Why? Because many times they have a mentality that is not good. You know, in many African countries, they are calling for the white man to come back and rule. Yes, they are calling for the white man to come back and rule. And they are saying that even though when the white man was there, there was a lot of things that were not good, now that the black man is ruling, they have seen that although they have solved the first problem, it has created another group of problems. So independence hasn't brought what we thought it would bring. It has solved something, and then it has created another problem. You see? Why? Because when an oppressed person is a leader, the people under him, it's not easy for them. It's not easy. When an oppressed man, he says, when he comes out of prison, you would think that he would be happy. You know? So that's why when the Israelites came out of Egypt, they couldn't flow with God. God had to kill all of them who 20 years and above, because they couldn't flow with the new ideas. And you can't put new wine in old wineskins. So out of prison he comes to reign, and it goes on to say that everyone in his kingdom shall be poor. And if you look at Africa today, you see that most of us who are born here, do you see, and live here, are poor. That is why you are not expecting a crusade ministry like ours to come from Africa. You are expecting it from America. Yes, you are not expecting something like this from an African, fellow African nation. Is it not true? Because most of us born in this kingdom are poor, too poor to reach out to anybody. We are rather reaching in than reaching out. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So you must decide that you are going to develop and learn all that you can learn about becoming a good leader. And one of the things it's saying here is that, back to Isaiah chapter 3, it says, I'm taking away the supplies. In other words, I'm bringing poverty. And how am I bringing poverty? I will take away good leaders. The eloquent orator. I will take him. People who can talk. Because leadership includes talking, communication. Once you take away communication, you are out. And then verse 4. I will give children to be their princes, and babies shall rule. Can you imagine a baby ruling? How can that be? When the baby says, nah, it means what? Wow. Nobody understands what is happening because a baby is in charge of a church. You know, I've put some pastors in charge of different churches, and I've been surprised at some of their behavior. You see someone get up and say, I am the main person here. I am in charge. Meanwhile, the church is not working. And they are fighting one another. You know, I sent somebody to be in charge of a church. And the person there said, you know, he is the man of God who is there. Meanwhile, the church has been there for 3 years, 4 years. It's not growing. We've sent somebody to come and be in charge there. And he says he will not. Because he should be the head. Well, look at something. A baby is in charge. Fighting over nothing. Babies and children, they say, I'll sit by the door. No, I'll bat first. No, it's my turn. I'll do this. I'll do this. I'll sit by the door. I'll sit by the window. You are a fool. You are a baby. You are fighting over nothing. What is the door? What is the door? If you bat first or second, what will happen? But that is a child fighting over nothing. Yes. So children and babies are not good leaders. And God is saying that if you are going to be a leader, you must be ahead. You must be ahead. Hallelujah. Now, how should you be ahead? How should you be ahead? And I want to show you Isaiah 27. Isaiah 27. He shall, verse 6, he shall cause them that come out of Jacob to take root. Everybody say, take root. He shall cause them that come out of Jacob. Or Jacob is Israel. So that speaks of God's people. He's going to cause God's people to take roots. That's what we need, roots. There are no tall trees because there are no deep roots. So he shall cause them that come out of Jacob to take roots. Then Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruits. Amen. He will cause those who come out of Jacob to do what? To take roots. And Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruits. So you are going to fill this world with fruits by taking roots and going deeper in God and deeper in your knowledge and deeper in your understanding of the things of God. When you have a deeper understanding, it will make you fill the face of the world with fruits. Now, many people, you know, are not bearing fruit for God because they are not deep and they are not deeply rooted in God. And God wants us have go deeper than we have ever been. Turn with me to Matthew 16. verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Now listen, this is the only thing Jesus said he's building, his church. He's not building a singing group. He's not building a fellowship. He's not building school. He's not building hospital, orphanage, borehole, electricity. He says, I will build my church. I want to advise everybody here, if you want God to be near you, become a builder of churches. And do whatever you ever have to do to be a builder of churches. Yeah. A pastor who does not give himself to building the church, I consider you to be a fool. I've not mentioned anybody's name, but I want to say that any pastor who God has called and you don't concentrate on building the church, I consider you not a wise pastor. Because this is what Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. So for me, I tell you, I am into church building. Yes, I want to build it. That's why, as we are here, why do you think I came here? It's because of the church. It's the church. Jesus is building his church. Why do you think I'm having a pastor's conference this morning? Do you think I'm not like other men of God who also need to rest? I need to rest. I also need rest. I need to do so many things apart from being here. But I believe that the church in Monzi is God's jewel. God's precious jewel. You know, one day there was a prophet. I really respect him because he has seen the Lord, you know, and has had some of the greatest revelations I've ever had seen before and heard of before. He went to England, and his hotel is in the center of London. If you go to London, the buildings are not far apart. He was near Buckingham Palace. So one evening, he was walking in the garden, and the Holy Spirit suddenly spoke to him and said, prepare to meet my bride. Prepare to meet my bride. Immediately, he knew that he was about to meet the Queen of England, because he was just in the near Buckingham Palace, where the Queen of England, Princess Diana, Prince Charles, all those people, that's where they stay. And the Lord told him, I don't mean the Queen of England. She's not my bride. I mean my church. My church is my bride. That's my bride. Because he started to practice how he would do the protocol, how he would greet her. He said, look, you are not serious. You don't understand what God is doing. His church is his bride. Very precious to him. Very precious. So when I see a pastor who is not serious about building churches, you know, I have here a book, Church Growth. Mega church, church planting. I cannot imagine a more important book for a pastor anywhere than to make the church bigger? Because this has been my aim. I flew to Korea because I wanted my church to get bigger. Because the pastor of the largest church was in Korea. I flew there. I didn't know anybody. When I got there, I didn't know how to even move from the airport. I didn't know anybody. I found a bus about 1-2 hours bus to the town. And I went and found the church. Before I went and found a place to stay just near the church. By myself, I was looking to make my church grow bigger. Yes. People are not serious. Pastors. This book, Mega Church. I don't get even half a dollar if you buy this book. I don't get anything. I'm not counting. I don't count books when you buy, I get. There's nothing like that. If I was trying to sell books, don't you think I'd rather go to America where I have more than 100 churches? I go there and preach in different places where people are inviting me. I've been invited to places. I tell them I can't come. Oh, yes. Where they'll pay me thousands of dollars. I'd rather come here to Bonzi to show you a book called Mega Church. Hey! And you may see that a pastor is not even interested still. And you ask yourself, what does he want? Then why don't you become a businessman? Stop saying that you are a pastor. So that we know that you are a farmer or a businessman or whatever you are doing. And stop calling yourself pastor, but you are not interested in church things. I don't understand why you call yourself a pastor, but you are not interested in developing the church. Church growth. If I was a pastor, as many times as I go to toilet, I will read this book. If I go to toilet, I see that I'm holding the book. Yes. Because all that I want is that the church should grow and be, because that is what Jesus is doing. He says, I will build my church. I will build my church. And he has not said anything new since he said, I'll build my church. There has not been a new revelation. I will build my business. You should see pastors today doing business seminars. Pastors are doing business. Pastors are doing banking, business, all these things. Those are not the fruits that Jesus is talking about. You know? So these are the most important books. Now let's go on. He says, I will build my church. Now, verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It says, I will give you the keys. You see, our kingdom is a kingdom of keys. Now, even though Peter was walking with Jesus, are you getting it? Jesus was moving around with Peter. He didn't have the keys. Peter didn't have the keys. Yes. You may be walking around with, but you don't have a key to the car that I'm driving. You don't have the key to the car. Even though we are all together. Yes. And so there are keys to the kingdom. Not one key. Keys. Keys. Now, the keys to the kingdom are what you and I need, just like Peter. When you are called, you need to find the key. Each key opens a new area or door to a new room or a new house or a new section. I'll give you the keys. So the kingdom has departments, sectors with doors which need keys. When you know something, that door will open to you. Now I'll tell you something. One day I was asking the Lord, you know, why should I continue preaching? You know, why should I continue preaching? Because what I want to preach. which I've preached. But I'll show you Luke 11, verse 52. You want to read it for us? Okay. 2. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge.
Yes.
Ye entered not in yourselves.
You are taking away the what?
The key.
Key of knowledge.
Ye entered in, not yourselves. Mm. And them that were entering in, ye hindered.
Mm. So he's saying here, because when he say, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, the question is, what are the keys? Uh-huh. But in this verse, he's saying, I've taken away the key of knowledge. So knowledge is a key of knowledge, key of knowledge, key of knowledge. Knowledge is a key. If you know how to make a wheelbarrow, you make wheelbarrows. You have a key to the prosperity that comes from making wheelbarrows. If you know how to make matches, you can have the key to making matches to the prosperity and riches that come from making matches. You know? Do you know that in every country where there are mines, there are white people? And where there are white people, there are golf courses. And where there are white people, they have their own clubhouses and they have their own community. And where they are, they have the lion's share of the money from the mines. And the ordinary people have very little out of the mine. Hmm? Did you know that? Yes. Why do we need white people when you have the thing in your country? It's in the ground. Huh? Why do you need the white people to come when it's on your land and it's for you? Oh, you don't understand my question. You know, we went to a crusade one time in Ghana, and the local people there took us to a forest. We walked through the forest deep. When we got to the middle of the forest, I saw something I've never seen before. Instead of sand, black soil, the floor of the forest was covered with black oil. Oil everywhere. Oil is coming out of Ghana. Like water. Instead of water, it was black oil. Ghana has oil. You should come and see how poor we are. We were recently declared highly indebted poor nation of the world. And recently, they decided to actually try and take some of the oil. So they went to the sea to take some of the oil that is there. And they brought white people, Americans, again, to come and take the oil. And Ghana is getting very small. I hear we are getting $40 a year per Ghanaian citizen. Something like that. Like everybody, if you share the money we are getting for the oil, it's $40 one Ghanaian for a year. The whole year. That is how much we are getting from our oil. Something like that. I don't know. I may be wrong. Don't quote me. But it's something. A person who does it all told me. Do you think they are getting? And I met somebody. He worked on the oil field. And he said, when they finished, the managers gave everybody a Rolex watch. He showed me. Rolex watch is from $10,000, $20,000. They gave all the workers. He was from the Philippines, and they gave everybody Rolex watch. They shared to all of them. Thank you. Just some small things more for thank you. Yeah. All citizens of the nation, across you and I and all ordinary people, our benefit is $40. Why? Because we don't know how to exploit it. We don't know anything. So the one who knows is the one who has the key. I'm telling you. And the one who has the key is the one who opened the door. And he said, if you don't allow me to take 90% of the money, I won't open the door. You won't even get your 10%. And what can you say? You sign it. You see presidents and other people signing agreements. So knowledge is a key, whether you like it or not. And anybody who is doing something you are not doing and achieving something you are not achieving knows something you don't know. Even though you think you know, you actually don't know it. He may read the same verse, but you actually he knows it in a way you don't know. Yeah. Because physics, how to extract oil and oil, is on the internet. So you may say, we know how to do it because you can read on the internet how to do it. But you actually don't know how to do it practically. So that is why it is necessary to read and reread and reread and restudy and go to conferences and listen to messages and to constantly receive. He says, I will take, Jacob will take root and they will now cover the face of the earth with fruits. We don't read. Somebody told me and I said, oh, are you sure? He said, yes. He said, if you want to hide a secret from an African, you should put it in a book. He will never see it. Because he will never open the book to read it, to see anything. I said, is it true? He said, it's true. It's only in Africa that we don't have chains of bookshops and publishers. We don't have anything like publishers. If you are a pastor and you write a book, you have to have your own network of publishing. There is no network to publish books in Africa. It's the only part of the world where we don't have networks of publishers. But in America, if I'm a pastor and I publish a book, I give it to a publisher. The publisher is connected to 10,000 bookshops. And once he agrees to publish, he will advertise and it will appear in 10,000 bookshops all over the nation and across the world. Chains. But in Africa, there is nothing like that. So if you are an African and you write a book, there's not even a bookshop and there are no publishers to do such things. You see, that is why even the few books you have in Africa are usually American books. Because through their publishing network, sometimes they have one or two places, Nairobi, one or two places, South Africa, and then you see their books here. But an African to write, we ourselves, we don't write much. And if we write, there's no such network. So we don't know a lot of things. You see? Yeah. So I'm here to share with you and all these. That's why I came with the books. Because these books we have printed, you know, well over 15 million, getting to 20 million of these books. People are really reading them and even inviting me to come and preach through these books. It's a great blessing for pastors. I don't write for money. I write especially to pastors. Somebody said, when you write this title, who will read? I said, look, I am not writing for, if I want money, I will not do what I'm doing. I am a qualified medical doctor. Yes. My mates are most of them in America. I'll be earning millions. It's not like going to Monze or Chumu. Was it Chuma? What is it? Choma. I don't go to Choma. If I'm looking for money. A Mazabuka. Let's be serious. Is it true or it's not true? Yes. You know? So, you need a key of knowledge. Now, let's look at Mark chapter 6, verse 2. Mark chapter 6.
Mark chapter 6, verse 2. Wow. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished.
Astonished.
Saying, from whence hath this man these things?
Where did this man get these things?
And what wisdom is this which is given unto him?
What wisdom is this?
Which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands.
Mighty works.
Mighty works.
Matthew 13:54.
And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished.
Astonished.
And said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works?
Where did he get this wisdom and these mighty works? Mighty works are a result of wisdom. Jesus had some wisdom and they were surprised. Ha! Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? What wisdom is this that such mighty works are wrought by his hand? So, if you are going to do mighty works for God, you are going to need some kind of wisdom and some kind, a key of knowledge. And that is why today, the best thing I can give to you after coming here for just a day is to offer you wisdom and knowledge and understanding, through which you will do mighty works for Jesus. What wisdom is this? That such mighty works. Pastors are not doing mighty works. A lot of pastors, because they are failing in ministry, are going into business. A pastor who leaves his pastoral work to do business is a failure. You are a failed pastor. That is why you are doing business. Not that you are a lay pastor. A lay pastor is somebody who combines. But a pastor who is leaving his full-time work and saying that, oh, now, you know, I am a hybrid pastor. I am into crossover ministry. I do this and I do this and I do business and all that. It is because you are failing in the pastoral. I can't see how I can do business. When will I have time to go to sit in my shop to do accounts? I don't know where. And the time to do accounts for my business. So I'm selling this, I'm buying this. I have to contact my clearing agent, export and import, to see whether my goods have arrived. I'm clearing them. Please, I have no time for such things. I beg you. I am fully engaged to the point where I'm out of time. It's only if I'm failing in ministry and my ministry is failing, that now time will now be available for me to say that I'm now going into farming. I'm now going to pineapple farming. Pineapple farming, to export pineapple to Europe. Hey! Let's be serious. If you are serious about ministry, you will not have time for. Look, this is the high calling. This is the high call. You see, people who have not been to school, sometimes you can see that the lack of school has affected them in the ministry. Yeah. Sometimes when you haven't been to school, you feel that I have to do this or I have to do this. It shows that I'm doing something. You see, but I went to school. I went to university for 7 years. I'm a medical doctor. So when I see people say we are doing this, I just laugh. Because what I have found is far greater than medicine. Far, far. There is no comparison. Medicine is down here, but ministry is up here. Medicine is down here. Ministry is up here. Yes, it's down. Medicine is down. Ministry is here. If this is ministry, medicine is down. I cannot go down. Or even to be a politician. Then that one is even down here. But if you go to certain countries, most of the pastors are politicians as well. I don't know whether it's in Zambia, but in there are certain countries, most of the pastors are politicians as well. And it's amazing. It's amazing. It's because you are a failed pastor. That's why you have time for politics. To join people to tell lies. Hallelujah. Turn to Revelation chapter 10. And I'm going to show you one of the greatest visions in the Bible. Revelation chapter 10.
Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud.
How many of you would like to see an angel at least once before you die? Okay, let's watch this angel. In case you don't see one, this is something that you can take home.
I saw another mighty angel clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head.
Wow.
And his head was as it were the sun. And his feet as pillars of fire.
Wow.
And he had in his hand a little book open.
He had in his hand a little book.
Open.
Not a little diamond.
No. A little book open.
A little copper.
No.
A little dollar.
No.
A little what?
Book.
Book
open. And he set his right foot upon the sea.
Wow.
And his left foot on the earth. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth.
He cried with a loud voice. As when a lion roareth.
And when he had cried.
Do you have lions in this area? In the park. Where is the park? This way. How far? 13. 18. 40. Okay. What's the name of the park? Lokimba. Okay, so but have you heard a lion roaring before? Okay.
As when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices.
Seven thunders. That one I think we have all heard thunder. So seven thunders is seven times thunder.
Yes. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not.
Verse 8.
And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth.
And take
the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth.
Go and take the angel, the book.
And I went.
It's open in the hand of the angel. So if you can imagine an angel with one leg in Lusaka and one leg in the sea. Where is the sea? Nearest sea to Lusaka. Durban. Hey! Then this angel must be huge. The nearest sea to here is Durban.
And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it.
Take it.
And eat it up.
Eat it up.
And it shall be in thy belly bitter. But it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey.
Wow.
And I took the little book out of the angel's hand.
Have any of you ever eaten a book before? So you see, God is giving you a mysterious message. Yes, go on.
And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up.
I ate the book.
And it was in my mouth, sweet as honey.
Sweet as honey.
And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter.
As soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter.
And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings.
That's it. Look, this is those of you say you want to see an angel. This is your chance. A big angel comes, one leg is in the sea and one leg is in the land like this. Very tall. But he's not coming with diamonds. He's holding a little book. And the book is open, which means you must open it. You see, you can have books that you don't open. Open. And then the prophet comes and stand up. You are the one, the angel. Then you hear a voice that, go to the angel and take the book that is in his hand. Come. Go to the angel and take the book. And then eat it. And when you eat the book, after eating it, have you eaten it? After eating it, now you are now ready to prophesy or to preach to nations and people and tongues and tribes all over the world. So, you see that what is this revelation? This is the revelation of books. This is the greatest revelation of the power of a book. That through the power of eating and digesting. You see, when you say eat the book, it's not read. You think they don't know the word read. The word read is in the Bible. Even it's in the same revelation. Blessed is he that readeth. In this revelation, chapter 1, it says, blessed is he that readeth the words of this book. So reading is not that they don't know the word read. But he said, eat the book. You see, people don't eat books. You don't digest. When you eat a book, you take in the book so much that it disappears. Because you can't see the meat I've eaten, but it's meat that has made this my flesh. Bread that I've eaten, that has turned into the flesh. So when you eat a book, people don't even know what you've eaten. It's so much a part of you. As I'm preaching now, you don't know where I got what I'm getting from. But it's like it's part of me. So when you eat a book, it becomes like a great part of you. Give me a bit of volume on my mic, please. It becomes like a great part of you. You see? And God then gives you the ability to preach. Now, he says you must preach to many people. Now, some of us are preaching to few people. But God is going to change your ministry. And you'll be preaching to many people. If you can believe in the revelation of books. Then the second one is you preach to
nations.
Nations. Look at me, I'm preaching in Zambia. No one has invited me. You see, that's another power. You didn't invite me, but I came. It's amazing. Most of us cannot go unless we are invited.
Wow.
But now nobody invites me. I myself go. I'm going to Kitwe. I'm going to Indola. I'm going everywhere. I'm going to been to so many places. I'm going to preach to a lot of people. Nations. I've been in Mozambique. I've been in America. I've been in Australia. I've been this year. I'm going to Manila. I'm going here. I'm going. They have even, I can't even go to places. I was asked to come to Trinidad. I said, I can't come. Paris, different places. From books. I'm going to tell you a secret just now. From books. Books. See, pastors don't read. That's why they have started to do business and politics. They don't read. It's true. I cannot lie to you. Have I come all the way here to lie to you? What is the third one?
Tongues.
You preach into tongues, different languages. What language is your language here? It's called what? Tonga. You see, Tonga. I'm preaching to Tonga. I've preached in so many languages. Sometimes I have two interpreters, sometimes three interpreters. God has blessed me to speak different languages. My books are translated into languages I didn't know existed. I didn't know that those languages existed. You'll be there.
Amen.
I said, you'll be there.
Amen.
Because God has a great ministry for you. That is why I'm here. It's a prophetic meeting. Yes. You must believe. You may never see an angel, but you read, you have your Bible. We know God through books. Don't let anybody deceive you. Thank God for visions, but we know about God through the Bible. We read the Bible, that's how we knew about God. Anybody who telling you that it's not powerful to read a book, it's not the book, the Bible is how we came to know about God. And we are knowing God every day by this book. What we read, then we know. So a book is a major asset for a pastor. Yes. That's why I've brought you a full library of books. And it's pastors. You see, it's people who are serious. These are not for making money. It's for ministry.
And kings.
Kings. You speak to kings. Heads of state. Leaders. Yes. Why should a king listen to you when you have not read a book? Let's be serious. What do you have to say to him if you have not been reading? When you see the head of state or whatever, you not even know what you are going to say. So, many people don't know the power of books. But you see, God has blessed me to have so many churches. I am also a pastor. And my whole ministry changed when somebody gave me a book by a man called Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin. A small book, half of this size. Half. The size of the book is like this. Half. When I read it, I said, hey, wow. What other book has he written? You see, because if you are a reader, you go by the name of the one who wrote the book. When you are a reader, you read a book, usually, you know, go by. And in fact, when I was started to write books, a publisher told me, your name must be big on the book because readers go by the name of the author. If you read one book by somebody and you like it, usually you want all other books the person has written. Yes, you don't go by the title more. Once he's the one who wrote it, you want it. If you are serious. Of course, if you are not serious, you will not want such a... Ask your neighbor, are you serious or not? We want serious people here this morning. We need only serious people. Hallelujah. So he told me, write your name bigger. Because at first, my name used to be smaller. But he told me, write your name big. Because it is the name of the author. So when I read the book, immediately I wanted all the books he had written. Then I also wanted his preaching. So I started to read more and listen to his preaching. Then at a point, I became addicted like drugs. I was only listening to the preaching. And I noticed that when I listen to the preaching and I preach it, it becomes more powerful than my original preaching. Yes. So I started to be blessed. Now, when I was in medical school, listen to this part. When I was in medical school, in my final year, you know, our school lasted 7 years because 1 year there was a break. Our school was closed. There was a revolution. So we closed this university for 1 year. Then we came back after 1 year. So it lasted 7 years. 1982 to 1989. So in 1988, my final year, I was a final year medical school. I was going to become a doctor in about 7 months. I had to go to a town for rural medicine. Rural medicine is different from city. In the rural areas where we were, when I went there, children were dying sick of so many things. When they need blood, in the city, we have a blood bank. But over there, when I asked the nurses and the other people, where are we going to get blood? They said, outside. I said, where outside? Those people walking outside, they are blood contractors. Yes. I said, are you serious? I said, yes. And they were all standing outside. If you need blood, they are ready. They sell their blood every day. You take some and then they take it. You test it, and so fresh blood for sale. They are walking banks, blood banks. So that is rural medicine is different from city. You get what I'm saying? So anyway, so I was there for 1 month. Whilst I was there, I started to pray and read my Bible, praying, studying, and so on, especially in the night. And one night, in the middle of the night, I was praying, and the tape was playing, Kenneth Hagin's preaching. This man whose book was given to me, it was over there on the tape recorder, playing up, down, up, down, up, down. Suddenly, in the middle of the night, at about 3 a.m., as I was praying, something jumped out of the tape and entered into my belly. And then a voice came in the room and the voice said, from today, you can teach. From today, 1988. Yes, that's what happened to me. And from that day, I had a small church like just here. I started to teach. Some people even noticed. Oh, my preaching has changed. You see, that was the beginning of the anointing. You see, God anointed me to preach. You see, when you are not anointed and you don't have anointing, you are more or less a school teacher. Although they will say pastor, but really it's a school teacher. Yes. They may call you pastor, but really you are a school teacher. And that is why things cannot grow. Because wherever the Holy Spirit is, things grow. The Holy Spirit is a river. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers. So where, if there was a river, I don't know if you have any rivers here. If there's a river, you see that by the banks of the river, the forest, even the whole city grows around the river. Cairo, a city of capital of Egypt, is around the river Nile. Most cities are around rivers all over the world. London is around the Thames, Korea, Seoul, Korea. Every big city is around the river. That's where things grow. That's where grass grows. That's where trees grow. That's where cities grow. So when this river of the Spirit has come into you as a minister, things start to grow. So no growth, no river, no anointing. And you would see that pastors are not interested in anointing. But from today, you'll be interested in the anointing. So this book is called Catch the Anointing. This book is called Steps to the Anointing. Steps. Steps. 1, 2, 3, 4. You are there. Anointing. Steps. This book is called The Sweet Influence of the Anointing. When the Holy Spirit is on you, there is an influence. Sorry. There is an influence that comes on your life. And you don't even know it. Look, when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, what happened? Souls were saved. That same day, 3,000 souls. Within 1 hour, souls were saved. That's what shows you that a lot of churches don't no more have the Holy Spirit, because souls are not busy. Pastors are not winning souls these days. Pastors are preaching about money. Their souls are dollars and kwacha. That's how their souls. When they preach, they are counting kwachas to see how many kwachas came in, not how many souls. But when the Holy Spirit came, 3,000 souls, not 3,000 kwacha, 3,000 souls. Huh? Soul winning is the sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses and you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall collect more kwachas than any other prophet or pastor. Or is it not your Bible? No, it said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes and you shall be witnesses. Soul winning. The sign of the Holy Spirit in my life is the soul winning that you see me doing today. That's the sign of the Spirit. Read your Bible. When you receive the Holy Spirit, what's going to happen? Soul winning. Church planting. This book is called Amplify Your Ministry. Amplification. You see, my ministry is far amplified. I used to be in a certain corner in Accra, Ghana. Accra is the capital of Ghana, and I used to be in a corner there. But now I'm in the whole city and in the whole country and all over Africa and all over the world. Amplification by the power of the Holy Spirit. So all these books, I'm telling you, if in your hand and you are serious, you will rise up and gradually have in your hand a key of knowledge. You have the wisdom that Jesus had so that he was able to do the ministry work. That's why I'm introducing these books to you, because you may not know. Now, all that I've been sharing about reading is in this book, The Art of Leadership. Do you remember, those of you who were here at the beginning, I began to share with you on the art of leadership and how God said, I'm taking away supplies. Look, poverty is directly caused by lack of good leaders. Direct, it's not caused by lack of resources. It's not caused by the continent. It's not caused by poor famine, poor this. Only the leader is the cause of the poverty. famines occur only where they do farming. They major on farming. There are no famines in America and places which are into other forms of prosperity. It's only such places. So, ladies and gentlemen, the art of leadership, the art of following is another one. How can you become a great person in the ministry? That is, if you want it. That's why I said, this is not a business seminar. If you are interested in business seminars, so you shouldn't have even come here. I'm not here to talk about business. I have no time for business. And my work is the work. It's a high call. I must be about my father's business, not making business, doing farms. I don't have time for that. And I'm not also selling books. This is not the cost of this book. This one costs about $400. If I want to sell it at the right price, that's about 4,000 kwacha. That's the real price, $10 at least for a book. Minimum. We are not here to do business. If we were doing business, we wouldn't come here. Yeah. When I launched this in America, if I just stand and I do a launch, I will get 10 people who give 1,000, whatever, $10,000, which is 100,000 kwacha, in just 10 single books. Single books, not this lot of books. I'll have 10 of my members. Oh, $1,000. That's $10,000, which is 100,000 kwacha. I'll just 10 single ones like this. Let's be serious. We are not here for making money. Stop. Take your mind off. The church is spoiled because pastors are doing business. We are here if you are interested in ministry. If you are not interested in ministry, you shouldn't have even come. You shouldn't have come at all. You should have been sleeping by now. Snoring and waking up to bath now. Are you listening to me? Stand to your feet, everybody. Lift your hand and ask God to give you the Holy Spirit.
Let's pray. Ask the Lord. Father, give me the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of revelation, understanding. The Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Every pastor, every church worker, every leader, you need us. You need the Holy Spirit. You need revelation. You need understanding. Understanding. Going deep. Deep. Do it for me, Lord. Give me the Holy Spirit. Open my understanding.
Jesus. Thanks a million. We give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Father, we are grateful. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sit down for a moment. We'll be ending in a few minutes. But before we do that, I want to share with you on the transformation of your pastoral ministry. This book is called Transform Your Pastoral Ministry. And the art, another name for that is the art of shepherding. A shepherd. What it means to be a shepherd. Shepherd, which is another word for pastor. Or this beautiful book here, What It Means. This is the book that we have used to train all our pastors, over 2,000 pastors in our church. What It Means to Become a Shepherd. This one, What It Means to Become a Shepherd and Transform Your Pastoral Ministry. Now, when I became a pastor, I was really confused initially. Sometimes when you do something, the initial stages you are confused. Why? Because I was a doctor. And as a doctor, on Mondays, we have ward rounds. Tuesdays, we have clinic. Wednesdays, we have surgery for short cases. Thursday, we have OPD. That is outpatient department. Friday, we have surgery for long case. Like one operation can take 3 hours or 4 hours. So maybe in the whole day, we may do 2 cases or sometimes only one. Do you understand? Every day. And Saturday, emergency duty. So every day we have something. When it's Monday, so we are going for major ward round. Tuesday, we are going to clinic. Wednesday, we are going to OPD. Thursday, we are going for surgery. Like that, every day. So when I became a pastor, I said, Monday, what will I do? Meanwhile, I've left the hospital. I said, I'm now a pastor. Tuesday, what will I do? Wednesday, what will I do? Hey! Thursday, what will I do? Friday, that's why pastors are doing business. They don't know what to do on Thursdays. That's why they are doing politics. They don't know what to do on Wednesdays. Are you listening to me? Turn to Acts chapter 6. I'll show you what to do. And in those days, this is the very first church. No other church had existed before this church. And it says, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians or the Greeks against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples to them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out from among you 7 men of honest reports, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually, not sometimes, continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Amen. Now, this statement in Acts 6 verse 4 is actually the beginning of the first church and pastoral work. The word pastoral work is divided into 4 areas. PVCI. P for prayer. V for visitation. Jeremiah 23 verse 2 says, I am against, let's look at it, Jeremiah 23, verse 2. Jeremiah 23, verse number 2. Alright? It says, I am against the pastors that feed my people, because you have not visited them. You not visited my sheep. Huh? And I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. Amen. So you see right here a very, very important revelation. So we are seeing 3 jobs of pastors. PVCI so far. P for prayer, because they said we will give ourselves continually to prayer. Then V is Jeremiah 23, verse 2. I will visit on you the evil of your day. Because pastors have not visited their people. Visitation. A pastor must be a visitor of people in their houses and in their lives. And you must be there for them. And then C is counseling or preaching. This is says we will give ourselves to the ministry of the word. And then I is interaction, where you interact with the people. Amen. Are you there? So it's very important. And let's look at verse 4 again.
Jeremiah 23 verse 4. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord.
Amen. So you see again that God in his wisdom says that this is the only reason why he's against pastors, because they've not visited, not that they've not done business, but they've not visited the sheep. They don't visit members. Most pastors don't know what to do as pastors. So a pastor's work consists of four things. Number one, prayer. Two, visiting. Three, counseling or ministry of the word. And four, interacting with the people. A shepherd is somebody who is amongst the people. And that's why Jesus said, I know my sheep and they know me. I know them by name. I interact with them. So Jesus was an interacting shepherd. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Beautiful. Jesus was an interacting shepherd. John chapter 10. And you see interaction beautifully all over there. Jesus said, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. So the shepherd is coming close, he's entering the lives of the sheep. He's entering the fold. Is close to the people, is amongst the people. The door is open and he comes into the lives and into their world. But when you are not a shepherd, you are not there. You are outside the sheepfold. But when you are a real pastor, you enter. That is why God didn't send angels to be pastors. An angel can never be your pastor because he's not suffering like you and I. He's not tempted. An angel can never understand what you are experiencing. An angel has not been hungry before. He has not had sex before. They watch us having sex all the time. They wonder what we are doing. Yes. Are you listening to me? Yeah. So the shepherd, he enters. Then when he enters, to him the porter opens and the sheep hear his voice. So he starts talking to the sheep and he calls them by name. He's interacting with them personally. Hey, John. Hey, Peter. James. Hey, Tamba. Tonga. Come. And he's talking to them by name. It's not an executive in a far away something. That's a shepherd. Huh? Then when he putteth forth his own sheep, like when he sends them, he goes before them. He doesn't let sheep do something himself has not done. That's why sometimes a pastor has to actually go through certain things so that he has done it before the others. Yeah. That's why when he says, if you want to be a pastor, you must be a husband of one wife, so that you see what is in marriage. You are leading people who are married. You are also seeing one. Because marriage is not as boyfriend and girlfriend. It's different. So everything that the sheep do to live, to prosper, instead of just putting the sheep, he goes in front of them. I'm going to go through life and survive, prosper, and you all follow me. So a pastor cannot stay in Lusaka and be pastoring people here in Monzi. You have to be here. Or you don't understand preaching. He goeth before them. The sheep follow him. For they know his voice. They know that once they are hearing his voice, he's there. It's okay. A stranger they will not follow. They flee from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. Verse 7.
Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. All right? And then, verse 10. The thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. A shepherd doesn't steal from the sheep. A good pastor, you don't steal. You can't borrow, be borrowing money from the people. And you don't pay back. How? You don't destroy the sheep. You don't kill them. You don't kill their lives. You can't destroy people's lives. You are supposed to build up people's lives as a shepherd. The thief is the one who steals, kills, destroys. But a shepherd builds up. That's a shepherd. And you can only do that when you are with the sheep. Now look at verse 11. Beautiful. This is Jesus Christ. I'm talking about transforming your pastoral ministry. This book, Transforming Your Pastoral Ministry. Or another is The Art of Shepherding. Like how to be a good shepherd. And I've given you four pillars. Prayer, visitation, counseling, and interaction. I'm showing you that Jesus was interacting with the people. He goes before them. He enters. He talks to them. He calls them by name. That's interaction. Yes, he was interacting. Prayer. Acts chapter 6. They said, we will give ourselves to prayer. Oh, you don't pray as a pastor. How can your church grow? Huh? Most pastors don't pray much. They dress much, but they don't pray much. They have cars and whatever, but they don't pray much. God help us. Huh? Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Fantastic. You see, what I'm preaching to you is what it means to become a shepherd. What it means to become a shepherd. It means to do prayer. It means to do visitation. It means to minister the word by counseling and teaching. And it means to interact with people practically on the ground. You have to be with the people. All right? And you see it from the first thing in the Bible. Now, verse 11. Beautiful. I am the good shepherd. All right? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Wow. But he that is a hireling, you are hired. Huh? He that is doing it for money. You see, whose own the sheep are not. He seeth the wolf coming. What is the wolf? Wolf is trouble, financial trouble. Then you run away from Monzi. I'm going to Lusaka. That's why a lot of pastors have run away from Monzi. Is it not true?
It's true.
Have pastors not run away from Monzi?
It's true.
Yeah. When they see the wolf coming, when they see trouble is coming, say, "Hey!" Because he's there for money. That is why poor cities and poorer towns don't have pastors and don't have churches. And that is what lets other religions come and take over cities. Yes. So today, many Christian pastors are hirelings. That's why you don't find them in certain places anymore. And now other religions, they are not there for money. I don't know what they are there for. Are taking over and are growing, especially in poor places. Until one day you see that it has covered the whole country. Yeah. He seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Now, the sign of scattered sheep is empty halls. You see, if the sheep are not scattered, where are they? If we come to church and the whole hall is empty, where are the sheep whom we have prepared chairs for? They're scattered. So the fact that the sheep are scattered, it means there's no shepherd. And the shepherd is not working well.
Because when a wolf comes, he can have access to them. David was a good shepherd. That's why he said God will be a good shepherd to him. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Because he himself was a shepherd and he knew what he has done for sheep. He saw a bear coming and he fought with the bear. Because of what? Not for any other reason. He had a few sheep, but he fought with a bear. He fought with a lion. Because of his church. A few sheep that he had. Most pastors will not. That's why God made him the shepherd of Israel. Because when it came to the few sheep, he was there ready to defend and fight them. Oh, he said, I like you. You will be the shepherd of my people. That's what Jesus told Peter. I'll make you a fisher of men. You did it for fish, now you do it for men. He told David, you did it for sheep, now you do it for my country. So your faithfulness and your abilities in those areas are showing who you are and how possible, how great you can do God's work if really you give yourself to it. So God wants you to give yourself to his work so that you do great things for him. I am the good shepherd. Wow. And those other people, I am the good shepherd. And when I see the wolf coming, I will not run away and my sheep will not be scattered. Now, verse 14, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. Look, everybody say, I know my sheep. When you are a good shepherd, you know sheep. You know sheep. So that is what makes you know such people like these. I wrote books for all of them because I've seen all these people before. I wrote a book for each because you will never forget them when you see them in your life. I wrote one book for each type of sheep that I saw. Those who accuse you. Huh. If you have not been accused before, you are a new pastor. You are a new pastor. And you don't know the effect of it. Those who accuse you. And then, those who are dangerous sons. You give birth to them. And the same person you give birth to can attack you. One day, a man of God came to Ghana and he appointed a Ghanaian as he appointed him as a man of God in Ghana. And he had a big church and he left the Ghanaian to be the man of God he had appointed in Ghana. When he left, the Ghanaian man of God took over the church, like how if somebody is in Barclays Bank and changed the Barclays Bank to another bank, International, my own bank. So he changed the name of the church and changed the church and took the church. And then he printed on a piece of paper all the bad things about the man of God who came to Ghana to appoint him as a man of God. And shared it. I got one of the leaves. When I saw it, I said, look at a dangerous man. Look at those who accuse you. Yes. But such things, they don't end well. You watch and see. All these people, you see them. He says, I know them. I know them. One day a pastor came and he had two assistants. And suddenly his two assistants told him, you are the worst pastor. He has been with them for some years. They told him, you are the worst pastor. Hey! He was shocked. So after I spoke to them and they went, I called the senior pastor. I told him, you are not a good pastor because
the people that you are with, they don't even like you. They don't believe in you. You don't know. You think they like you. A good pastor must know the people. You can't know them just by the face when they are smiling in church. It doesn't mean anything. The same person who is smiling is choking you at the back, stabbing you. So I told him, the fault comes from you. Because Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. Nobody knew. Because they did not have the keys. They didn't know ministry. Jesus knew ministry. He knew they would betray him. He knew Judas. He knew that he couldn't trust Judas, even though he gave him the money. Maybe he was trying to cure him by giving him the finances. That here is opportunity. I trust you. Because when you want somebody to be trustworthy, you give the person opportunities. Look, here is money. You know, prove yourself. Prove yourself that you can be trusted. He didn't do it. So when you are a good shepherd, you must know the people. The people, you must know them. I'm telling you. You can't just be there and say, everybody is nice. Everybody likes you. It is not true. Then there are those who are ignorant. I say, I wrote a book for each. As a shepherd, I know the people. I know them. I've seen them. Those who are ignorant. Read it. And otherwise, when they come and they spoil your church and scatter your church, you say, God has forsaken me. God hasn't forsaken me. I came here and I showed you the book. You didn't read it. You didn't find time. You didn't take it seriously. Why are you complaining now? I gave you the key. Those who are ignorant. Ignorant people are dangerous people. Those who go on Aluta demonstrations are mostly the junior staff. The lower ranks. Managers and so on. They don't go on demonstrations. It's those who don't know much who try to overthrow nations. You say you want to become a president. It's not easy to be a president. Go to Zimbabwe and see. After they threw out the farmers, they say, oh, we can manage our own farms, whatever. Go and see. There's no farm again. It's just bush. I drove through the whole of Zimbabwe. From Sijambangwani to Bedbridge to Chichungwiza to every town, Gweru, Wanda, I've been everywhere. We only pass through forest, bushes. But you can say, we want to do. But when you are there, it's not the same. Ignorance. It's a very dangerous thing. That's why I'm preaching to you and offering you books so that you will not be an ignoramus. An ignorant person is called an ignoramus. And those who forget. Church members and leaders who forget when you were appointed, when you were assisted, when you were helped, when somebody prayed for you, you've forgotten already. Amen. Huh? Ham and whatever. He forgot when he was disgracing his father that his father saved his life a few days ago in the boat. He would have drowned with the whole world. His father saved him. When he came out, he forgot that his father saved him. Came to take pictures and disgrace his father. But of course, it must be a curse. Those who forget, they are very dangerous. You see, when you go and do an exam, you can't pass. It's because you've forgotten most of the things. Or you don't remember. When they ask you, what is the longest river in the world? You say, river, whatever. You don't know. When they ask you this, you don't know. Everything you don't know. How can you become a doctor? You don't know anything. And you can't remember anything. Even the ones you learned, you can't remember. So when you forget, you don't do well. And some of the members, they forget. So Jesus said, I know them. Those who pretend. Those who smile. Huh? One day I went to a church. When I finished preaching,
I used to sit on this side. The pastor sits here. The assistant pastor sits here. When I finish preaching, the assistant pastor will come and say, thank you for a message. I preach about loyalty. This is my most famous book, Loyalty and Disloyalty. Yes, I preached on this book. When I finished preaching, the pastor came and said, ha, thank you very much. We're blessed. I said, thank you. When I left, he went to see his pastor. I said, why is he preaching about loyalty? Who told him that we are quarreling in this church? Those who pretend. Meanwhile, he was congratulating me after. The next year I came, they asked me to preach. I forgot what I preached last year. So without knowing, I preached the same loyalty again. After he came to see me to say thank you. And he went back to his pastor and said, why is this man preaching loyalty? Does he not have anything else to say? Meanwhile, he was thanking me. But it was all pretending. I was invited the next year. And the next year, I also forgot what I preached. And I went and preached the same thing again. You know, since then, I always ask my secretary, remind me what I preached last time so that I don't preach again. So I preach it again. Hey! This time he was annoyed. He came to the pastor and he said, that book that the man came to preach. And after he came to text, you know, he crosses from here to here. So he comes like this. You know, come and shake me. And cross. Like, oh, we are. When I left, he took my book and threw it on the floor. And he stamped on it like that. He said, this is not a good book. Meanwhile, you were recently thanking me that I've come to preach a powerful message. And he was stamping the book. He wanted the book to go down because the book was describing him. And then those who leave you. Those who leave you. Hey, people who leave churches, they can take half of the church. You know, one day I went to a church. The members in the church was like this, maybe. But there were 2,000 chairs that have been packed at the back. So I said, where are the members? They left. Those who leave you, they left and spoiled the whole church. Because somebody spread a rumor in the church that the pastor's wife, he shouldn't have married her for some reasons. So they all left the church. So Jesus said, I know them. I know them. So when you are a pastor, you can't just be with people and think everybody likes you. No. And that's why I wrote all these books. So if you are serious about ministry, you will like these books. And you will make sure you get it. What did the angel bring from heaven? What did the angel with one leg on the sea, one leg in the land, what did the angel bring? God is giving you a book in your hand. God is giving you books in your hand. And it's going to be a blessing to you. Stand to your feet. Father, thank you for the great opportunity that we have today. Guide us by your mighty spirit into all wonderful truths. Thank you for your blessing. Lift your hand, pastors. Father, I thank you that you are opening the doors of ministry for your children here, and you are doing great works, great, great works, great, great works in Monzi, in Zambia. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I thank you. Anoint these pastors, raise them up, let them do mighty works and great things for your kingdom's sake. We give you thanks and we give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. How many have been blessed at our pastor's conference? Wow. So, I want to encourage you. We'll be making these books available for you for only 500 kwacha. Amen. Instead of 4,000 kwacha. it's a blessing to you. That is just $50 for these wonderful books. And you can get online podcast. Get online. Doctor is going to tell you about it in a moment. Podcast, Dag Heward Mills videos, camp messages, preaching. You can soak them all in. How many are glad that we came to Monze? Yes. We would easily not have come here, but God had it in his mind. I don't know Monze. This is the first time I've come here. And God knows Monze. And God knows what he wants to do in Monze. And God knows what are the pastors here and the churches here. And God loves the church because the church is a treasure to God, to Jesus. I will build my church. So pastors, that is why I've come here this morning, because it's very important that we give ourselves to the ministry and do the great exploits that God wants us to do. In Jesus' name. Father, thanks for your blessing, for the wonderful team of your leaders that are in Monze. They will do great works. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome the doctor for a moment.